Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
This is day two of our discovery unit. We're talking about treasure, secrets, and ancient kings on a Discovery Channel show called Expedition Unknown, Season 4. So I'm sad to say I missed Seasons 1 through 3, but actually Season 4 has...really what I want to learn about, and that's Stonehenge. That's where I'm very interested in. If I had one place to pick that I could find out the secrets of one place that's confused and been a mystery to everybody, it's Stonehenge. Those rocks are huge. And so you think, how in the world did they move them? I mean, just moving them, Tom, is crazy. And they're out in the middle of nowhere, you know? Usually...England has a lot of beautiful trees and rolling hills, but this area, there aren't a lot of trees around there, and they're protecting Stonehenge a lot more these days because of the numbers of tourists. You know, the number of tourists all around the world has increased, and sometimes it hurts these places that have really valuable, you know, World Heritage Site relics. So you can no longer go close and touch them and things like that, but just looking...we just drove past, you know, quickly. But looking over there, I just thought, wow, who could move those? How did they do it? But the, you know, the pyramids in Egypt are kind of crazy, too.
Yep.
How did they do those?
You know? I wonder if they let people crawl on those anymore. I was fortunate when I went down to Mexico. I was able to climb up on the Pyramid of the Sun, I think, at Teotihuacan. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think they're learning more and more that, you know, people want to crawl on them and take selfies and stuff like that.
You didn't see the Instagram photos that were in the news a couple months ago. There was a couple that outsmarted the guards, and they climbed to the top of the pyramids and did things that were inappropriate in public, if you know what I mean. And, they were arrested. No, you can't. They guard them very carefully.
That's another subject for another day, is tourism destroying the world.
Yeah.
Some people say that we should probably all just stay put and enjoy our lives here. But, again, that's another subject. But that's not what's happening in today's program because Josh...Josh Gates here is traveling to Stonehenge in England, and he's looking for hinges underneath the North Sea, too. So that's kind of interesting. Let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now. Listen carefully.
On the next episode, Josh is in the UK to learn the secrets of Stonehenge. The true purpose of the famous site has long been debated, but now...Thanks to cutting-edge technology, researchers are closer than ever to learning the meaning of the mysterious stone structure. The first thing Josh learns is that Stonehenge is just one of the UK's several ancient henges, which are round, earthen enclosures with a ditch and bank around them. Before heading to the North Sea,where some archaeologists are hoping to discover the oldest known henge under the cold, stormy waters. Josh learns about some carvings etched into Stonehenge that researchers have recently discovered. A special laser scanner has detected 72 symbols etched into stones that denote burial sites. Have the researchers just uncovered one of the UK's largest graveyards?In another episode, Josh makes his way to Guatemala to take part in an archaeological dig in the ancient lost city of El Mirador. He's headed deep into the jungle to meet archaeologist Richard Hansen, who's been clearing away dense forest and undergrowth to unearth the ancient pre-classic Mayan city. Over 37 years,Richard and his team have found tens of thousands of ancient structures on a piece of land larger than the U.S. city of Los Angeles. One of the buildings Richard's team is currently excavating makes Richard excited that it could contain the tomb of an ancient king. His team members have found a pit buried under a false floor, and after excavating the room above the pit,They're excited to dig even further. To find out what's hidden within, Tune in to Expedition Unknown Season 4 this April.
Okay, everybody, let's start talking about our lesson for today. This is the next episode of Expedition Unknown. It's season 4 again. So on the next episode, remember last time we talked about the first episode. Mm-hmm. So today we're talking about the next episode or the next show. Josh is in the UK, the
Cool.
United Kingdom, to learn the secrets of Stonehenge. Okay, that's in England, I believe, in southern England. Wiltshire, I believe, is where it is. And the true purpose of the famous site has long been debated, but now, thanks to cutting-edge technology, researchers are closer than ever to learning the meaning of the mysterious stone structure. So, yes, we've known about Stonehenge for a very, very long time, but the people who built it are long gone. They're long dead. It's really old here. So nobody really knows the true purpose of this famous site. Here, site, S-I-T-E, site, just means a location, especially if something famous is there. So it's a famous archaeological site there with those big stone monuments. And people have been debating the purpose of this. You know, why did they build this? Of course, they had to take the effort to build it. So they must have been doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. They weren't just doing it for fun. They had a purpose in mind. So, of course, scholars nowadays have been debating as well. Was it a religious site? Was it some kind of astronomy observation platform or something like that? There are several theories. Mm-hmm. But now we've got this cutting-edge technology, maybe some kinds of machines that can look into the dirt.
Lasers
or whatever, and they can try to find clues as to why they built this thing. So mm-hmm. with that cutting-edge advanced technology, researchers are closer than ever to learning the meaning of this mysterious stone structure. If something is mysterious, well, there's a lot of mystery with it. It's difficult or impossible to make heads or tails of it. You just can't understand. You don't know why it's there. You can't explain it. So, yeah, it's a mysterious stone structure. What the heck did they build it for?
Kind of cool. I wanted to mention with this site, guys, we also use it to talk about a website. Website is spelled S-I-T-E instead of the S-I-G-H-T, website. And so if you're talking about going to a particular website, you know, oh, I like that site a lot, you would use this spelling and not the S-I-G-H-T. You could also put web and site together and use that too. So they've got this cutting-edge technology. We're living in a really fascinating time in the history of this world because technology is changing so fast. It's kind of crazy. I was reading the other day about the iPhone, and it's only been around, for about 15 years. I remember the first person I sat by in a plane who had an iPhone and thinking, how is he using his fingers on the screen to change things? This is weird. Mm. And now everybody takes it for granted. So we've got a lot of cutting-edge technology out there now. And researchers are really excited about this because of the technology, they feel like they're getting closer than ever to learning the meaning of the mysterious stone structure. Something's mysterious. It's a mystery. Mysterious is the adjective form of this word. Sometimes something's mysterious because we just don't quite understand it, or someone can't explain it very well, or you can't identify what it is. There are different reasons why something is mysterious. A person can be mysterious if you don't have a lot of information about them and they don't share much information about themselves. They can be mysterious too.
Indeed. So here in the next sentence, it says the first thing Josh learns is that Stonehenge is just one of the UK's several ancient henges, which are round earthen enclosures with a ditch and bank around them. So, you know, a henge here is a special word, and I've only heard of England having them.
Yeah, me too.
It tells us exactly what a henge is. It's a round earthen enclosure. Earthen means it's got dirt there. It's made out of the land. Mm-hmm. And an enclosure just refers to something that is kind of indoors. It's an enclosure, a circle basically with a wall around it. And then it's got a ditch inside that wall, I believe, And then that bank is around that ditch. And I think I read somewhere that they don't think these were forts because the wall was too short. You would easily be killed if somebody attacked you in there.
Yeah, I know.
So it must have had some other purpose. But yes, indeed, he finds out that, hey, this isn't the only henge in England. There's Stonehenge, nearby Stonehenge. There's a place called Woodhenge, which doesn't exist anymore, but because it was made out of wood. But they know it was there because of, I think it was aerial photography back in the 1920s.
Yeah, when I was there in Cornwall, which is the southern part of England, our tour guide took us to see some ancient henges. And when you look at this enclosure, it's not inside so much as it's like a fence. So there's an area of land, and it seems like these round earthen enclosures kind of circle around something. And there's a ditch. You know what a ditch is? A ditch is where the earth has been dug out of that middle part, and usually water goes through there. We have a ditch by my house where my parents live, and a bank. A bank is not where you get money or put in money. A bank would be where the side wall of the ditch is built up, so that the water just doesn't run out quickly. So it's kind of an interesting arrangement, just looking at it. And yeah, you're right, Tom. The one I saw, they were quite small. I think they were like 1 or 2 feet tall, maybe 2.5 feet tall. So it's not like it was a fort. Stonehenge is so big that it's hard to compare the two of them. But they are both henges. And maybe once we figure out what Stonehenge is, we'll figure out what the others are, too.
Well, there's actually one, I guess, underwater here, as it describes in the second paragraph. But we're going to take a break before we start talking about that. So let's do that right now. Let's listen now to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 好，我们今天要来继续看第六单元。这个文章的内容谈的是一个 Discovery 频道上的新节目。这个节目其实也不是新的，因为它已经到第四季了，叫做 Expedition Unknown, 追谜探险队。好，那这边我们预告两集的内容，我们来看看到哪里？到英国。英国这里有一个巨石阵，而这个巨石阵到底为什么当时会有这样的安排，这样在这个地点，这些石头放在这里做什么呢？很多人有各种不同的说法，不过现在因为有尖端的技术 cutting edge technology, 所以说我们好像跟以前比起来，我们可能更接近这个事情真正的意义在哪边，我们越来越知道答案了。好，我们就先看到这里。诶，说越来越接近，更接近。Researchers are closer than ever to learning. 诶， closer, 当然这是比较级。可是后面说接近什么，你用的介系词是 to, T-O, 这个 to 是介系词咯，所以后面接的是名词或者是动名词。那么这边的 learning 加了 ing, 就是这个意思。我们越来比以前更清楚这个神秘的岩石结构物它的意义。好，再来我们就来看下方。嗯，提到巨石林啊，它是一个什么样的建筑结构物呢？我们知道这里说到它是一个 which are round earthen closures with a ditch and bank around them。 好，注意到了逗点后面的 which,这就是一个所谓非限定用法的冠带。诶，关系代名词前面有一个逗点，当然它指的在这里就是指前面的 ancient henges, 不过我们用逗点隔开就是表示这个后面啊是一个补充说明，再加一点解释。诶，所以呢叫它非限定用法。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the show on the Discovery Channel called Expedition Unknown. They're currently showing season 4.
So you still have a chance to tune in and check out some of these mysteries and go on some expeditions with the host, Josh Gates. There are other people, of course, included in this program, but Josh Gates is the host. So he gets to have this fun job where he goes around the world trying to find the mysteries and maybe solving some of these mysteries. He has a fun job, I have to say.
It does sound like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people are jealous of him. Mm. But here in the next paragraph it says, before heading to the North Sea, where some archaeologists are hoping to discover the oldest known henge under the cold, stormy waters, Josh learns about some carvings etched into Stonehenge that researchers have recently discovered. Mm. So he's going to go to the North Sea. That is the body of water that is to the east of England there. And, of course, it's kind of rough there with lots of storms and things like that.
Yeah.
And I guess they've got some archaeologists there. Those are people who dig in the ground to look for signs of ancient civilizations. They're looking for bones and pottery and stuff like that. Archaeologists, they study archaeology, and they want to discover this really old henge that supposedly is under the water there. I guess when the ice age froze up all the water in the world, or a lot of it in the polar ice caps or the glaciers that covered the north part of the world. And so therefore, you could get further down. I think that also resulted in a land bridge between Asia and Taiwan. I guess people could walk across there at that time.
Wow.
But in any case here, yes, they think this henge is under the cold and stormy waters of the North Sea. But before he goes there, he found something out. He learns that there are some carvings etched into Stonehenge that some researchers recently discovered. So a carving, of course, is something that you create, some kind of work of art, I guess, if you take a tool or something and you push into a surface like wood or stone and you kind of make a picture, a carving. A carving could also be three-dimensional. You could buy a carving made out of stone. I think my parents, when they went to Jamaica many years ago, they came back with some carvings that the local people had done with pocket knives.
Yeah, and the word following carvings is etch. So this is a verb. To etch usually means you engrave something. It could be metal, glass, stone, by drawing on it with a sharp tool. Sometimes it's just a needle you can etch into something. So these carvings were etched into Stonehenge, and the researchers have recently discovered them. This is new for me. I hadn't heard this piece of news, so it's kind of exciting. They've also got some of that cutting-edge technology. They've got a special laser scanner. And that scanner has detected 72 symbols etched or carved into stones that denote burial sites, which is interesting. Most people know what a scanner is these days. My printer has a scanner. That's part of the printer. So I can scan documents or, you know, whatever I need to scan. If I just put it on the glass and then that printer will kind of read over it. It'll scan it. Mm. Kind of nice to have a scanner these days at home. And that scanner detected the 72 symbols. So they're not quite sure what the symbols are, but they seem to denote. When you see this word denote, it's a verb that just means, it means to represent or indicate, be a sign of something. So they seem to denote burial sites. And burial here just means to put a body, to put somebody who's passed away into the ground, perhaps, or where else do we put them? Usually we bury them in the ground or take them out to sea if they have requested that. So
right. They might have burial mounds there. I know that that's a practice that's common in the world for people to be buried in the earth, and they form a mound there. So I guess they didn't see these symbols etched into the stones before, but by using lasers, they could actually see them with a scanner there. Whereas the naked eye could not see them before, they didn't even know they were there.
No.
So they think, hey, these are indicating burial sites. Hmm. These must have been graves or something like that.
Right.
So we're going to finish this paragraph with a question. Have the researchers just uncovered one of the UK's largest graveyards? Well, they won't know until they dig down and find the bodies. I don't know how much they can dig there because it's probably a protected site. They'll probably have to use ground-penetrating radar to do that. Okay, moving on to the next paragraph. It says, in another episode, Josh makes his way to Guatemala to take part in an archaeological dig in the ancient lost city of El Mirador. Okay, so he's making his way there. To make your way someplace just means to travel to someplace, to go to someplace, basically. So he's going to Guatemala in Central America, and he's going to participate in this archaeological dig. He's going to take part in it. He's going to be a member of this dig. We've got these archaeologists going out there with shovels and various tools, and they're going to dig in the ground to try to find some things in a place that they call El Mirador, which is an ancient lost city in Guatemala.
Okay, here is the expedition I don't want to go on myself, because he's heading into the jungle there. He's headed deep into the jungle. It's so easy to get lost in a jungle like that. He's going to be meeting an archaeologist whose name is Richard Hansen. And Richard has been very busy clearing away dense forest and undergrowth to unearth the ancient pre-classic Mayan city. So he's been there for a while. If you clear something away, guys, you just take whatever is there and you get rid of it. You could clear away the dishes from the table after you eat dinner. You could clear away some weeds in your yard by just digging them up and getting rid of them to clear away. So you just get rid of whatever is blocking you. And dense, you'll often see this when you're talking about either a forest or maybe fog. We get a lot of fog here. If the fog is dense, it's very hard to see through it. If a forest is dense, it's very hard to even walk through it. So that's why he's clearing away that dense forest and undergrowth, is all of that green plants, very, very short plants, vines that are along the dirt floor of the jungle. He's clearing that away so people can, you know, more conveniently get through the jungle. Jungles are hard to get through. You see guides use those big machete knives, you know, just cutting things in their way so that they can even walk through a very dense forest. So he's been there for a while, over 37 years, and he and his team have found thousands, tens of thousands, would be like, you know, 12,000, 20,000, that's tens of thousands, of ancient structures on a piece of land that's larger than the city of Los Angeles. If you've never been to Los Angeles, let me tell you, that city stretches out. It's very big.
It's spread out. It's a sprawling metropolis.
Yeah.
But still, that's just a city in the U.S., so this area of land has thousands of those structures, so they're surely going to find some things that are interesting. Here in the final paragraph, it says, one of the buildings Richard's team is currently excavating makes Richard excited that it could contain the tomb of an ancient king. So, yeah, if you're digging things up out of the ground, you could also say that you're excavating something, trying to dig into the ground to find something. So he's excavating this building here, and he thinks it might contain a tomb, a grave, basically, of an old king of that old civilization.
His team members have found a pit, that's a hole, buried under a false floor. It looks like a floor, but then you tap it and you realize, oh, there's something underneath there. So they're hiding something, obviously. And after excavating the room above the pit, they're excited to dig even further. We're not going to tell you what they found. You're going to have to tune in and find out for yourself. This show begins this April, so check your local listings, see when the show is on, and see if this is sort of the kind of expedition you'd like to be involved in. Right now, guys, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
好，我们继续来看，他到哪边去呢？哦，其实他们呢，有到北海，在北海这里呢，有一些考古学家认为说，在这个地方啊，可以找到最古老的这种圆形石结构物。好，所以看到了吗？ 提到 North Sea， 这是一个专有名词，后面逗点再接 where， 哎，就跟前面这一段里头的 which 一样，这里逗点隔开，而后面接的 where， 那是一个关系副词，哎，但整个子句用在这里也是一个非限定用法的关系子句了，也就是补充说明北海这个地方为什么到这里。哦，原来如此。那在到北海之前，Josh 也就是我们这个节目的主人公，他呢就知道说，哦，他们最近发现说在这个巨石阵里面有一些雕刻的图案。好， Some carvings etched into Stonehenge。好，那这个地方的 etched 我们也要注意一下，这个 etch 为什么要加 ed， 这本来代表刻、雕刻、石刻，在上面刻出东西来，但是因为前面的 carvings 是被刻上去，所以说你要用被动的过去分词。好，这个分词片语当然就是修饰 carvings 这个字，表达一种被动的含义。好，那我们再看下面这一段。还有一集节目哦，这一集节目它里面呢竟然是说 Josh 他到瓜地马拉，然后去呢去找一个失落城市里面的考古。好，看到了这个片语 make his way， make one's way to somewhere 就表示前往哪里，那往下读会读到另外一个片语 he is headedeep into the jungle， 这个地方的 he 跟 apostrophe s 也就是这个缩写里面 be 动词加 headed 再加 to 再加地点就表示前往，所以其实等于是跟前面的 make one's way to a certain place 两个片语是几乎一样的解释。不过有一点就是 head 如果你是用主动的语态，一个人 headto a place 也可以哦，所以说有时候很有趣的就是在英文里面呢，这个动词的形式你用主动语态来讲跟你用被动语态来讲基本上是表达同样的含义，像 be headed to 跟 head to 这两个片语就是这样子的用法。好，我们今天讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.